Jill and Johnny, well known Johnny. And so we pray for his entrance into the kingdom God told us. And I think what it does is it reminds us of the fragility of fragile life. During these weeks and months, I'm sure, and a couple of years, but it seems like recently, many, many people have been sick, and most have recovered, but there are those who have reposed. And it tells us something about our own lives. It gives us a context of how we're going to lead our lives, and what is important to us. And in a sense, while I think we all enjoy our life here, the truth of the matter is, ultimately, it's a veil of tears. Many, many, many struggles, many, many difficulties. And the ultimate hope is that we will be embraced by our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ and His holy angels, and that we will be, as it were, after we've been examined for our consciousness, examined, escorted into the kingdom of heaven on high. And obviously the church, which I think is a really important thing to understand, this is the kingdom of heaven here on earth. We are in the kingdom of heaven when we are in the church. And when I say in the church, I don't mean the physical building, although God has enlightened the church to make physical buildings in such a way that they inspire piety and faithfulness to God. But we're in the kingdom of heaven when we're in the divine services. And we are invited to partake of the very presence and very substance of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, His very body and blood, which unites us to the kingdom of God and imparts to us step by step, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year, it imparts to us life in Christ. And this, of course, is the most important message, I think, of the Holy Church, is that in the Church, in the divine services, which have been given to us, not by simply by the minds of men, through the minds of men, but by the power of the Holy Spirit who has inspired the Church, to create these holy and divine services and the many and great feasts that we celebrate in the image of our Lord, and so that they inspire us to remember the events. And we say remember, it's interesting, we remember in a sort of secular sense something that happened in the past, but actually to remember is to bring something into the present, to take its various members and to unite them into one experience, and so we, for example, when we say the Holy Eucharist in the remembrance of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, is taking, as it were, the totality, as a reality, so that we can partake in this reality. And so we are blessed. We have great hopes of salvation for Frank Joseph, and that he will know the fullness of the presence of God, and that he will remember us in the glory of his kingdom. Today, I thought to move forward to just a little reflection on the baptism of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I was looking at the various readings for the feast, actually. And it's really quite interesting because in Matthew it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, allow it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And so it is, John the Baptist allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So we have this statement from the Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, and it's similar statements are made in the other Gospels. And this is the whole remarkable reality that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ was baptized by John. Now, what was accomplished? Certainly, our Lord is the one who fulfills baptism, and is exactly what was accomplished by the humility of our Lord being baptized, by being himself baptized, because being baptized, he sanctified the rite of baptism. He made it holy unto salvation. And so this really is what was accomplished. So the baptism of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ sanctified a holy baptism. And hopefully we will at some point in our lives, as we remember in the cycle of the divine services on a yearly basis, we remember the Lord's the voice that came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we need to remember this because we have been gifted this remarkable reality, this remarkable event, to actually have been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to go down into the waters, into the deep, into the dark, deep waters, and to rise up again into the light of the Holy Trinity in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we have received this blessing unto salvation. And really, it is the beginning of hope, as it were. It's the beginning of the hope of regeneration in this life and preparation for the life to come. In St. Paul in Corinthians 10 says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now, this is an amazing statement, actually. It reaches back all the way into the very beginnings of salvation. And it's recounting Moses and Aaron leading the children of God out of Egypt. And when they were being guided out of Egypt, they were leaving the world of darkness and sin and death and entering into the cloud. Now that the account is that a cloud formed during the day, and that cloud turned into a pillar of fire in the night. And that cloud didn't simply lead them in some kind of objective, spatial way, but it enveloped them and contained them and entered into their hearts and minds. And in their hearts and minds, the kingdom of God and salvation was already established. So what we see in Christ is that the reality reaches all the way back, as it were, to the beginnings, and brings the beginnings into the present and into the house of God. And it says, "All passed through the sea." This is an amazing thing. The sea was opened by the hand of Moses. He parted the sea. And the Father said, "Well, he parted the sea." When he got to the other side, he actually parted the sea this way, and he got the other side, he closed the sea, completing the sign of the cross. And so it is, as they pass through the sea, and this is these waters, it's like the womb, as it were, that you pass through, the child when it's born passes through the waters from this darkness, the canal, the birth canal, and through the waters, and enters into the light, the natural light. And so the children of Israel pass through the darkness of the waters of the desert, were into the light of God. And who was that light? What was that light? St. Paul says it was the light of Christ, already reaching back, always present, but in a sense reaching back and gathering them into salvation. And he says they all passed through the sea and were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. Remember, after they passed through the sea, a manna came down from heaven and fed them. And you know, you think about it, it was just manna from heaven, right? But it was really fascinating because they were not allowed to store the manna up. They could only partake of what they were given each day, and that's it. And then they stored it up and became worms. So they lived in faith, or by living in the way that they lived, faith was born in them each and every day that God would feed them from heaven on high. And it says they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud of the sea and ate the same spiritual food. And they all drank from the same spiritual drink. Remember, they were thirsty and Moses cleaved a rock and water came out from the rock and they partook of that. And they were sanctified by that. And the rock, he says, was Christ. It's such an amazing thing to see the events of Christ reach back and gather into one understanding and one acknowledgement of the glory of God, that he, everything is brought together in our Lord and God and Savior. And in the Epistle to Titus, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that by denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." So we have been given the gift, and we must live according to the gift that we have been given, and denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Can you imagine? Purify it for himself. Not for ourselves, but for himself. Uniting us into his body so that we become one with him. And that we not only become one with him, you might say, as an idea, but we become one with him as a living reality. So he lives in us as we live in him. And we become mediators of his uncreated energies unto salvation and the illumination, the dispelling of darkness, and the uniting of those who truly seek to know God into the light of his glory. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. And this is another thing. Yes, we are bound to live and try to do righteous things and works that exhibit his graciousness. And yet it's not by these works. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, as we approach the Feast of Holy Theophany, which is on Wednesday, and I know that many people are unable to come because of other obligations. We're having an 8 o'clock liturgy, perhaps people get to work a little late. But we are being invited to participate in the manifestation of these truths which are written by the Holy Apostles, that we are able to participate in them and partake of them ourselves, and to be cleansed and sanctified and given, as it were, a new day. And hopefully a new day that it never fades into darkness. There is no sunset. But the glory of God resides with us in the new day. And that we are led by the glory of God.